Good morning, everybody. We're going to get the meeting underway. So welcome to ICANN 54 in Dublin, or at least the CCNSO constituency days portion of it. I just wanted to set the stage a little bit for the coming 2 days. We have a very full agenda, and if you've taken a look at the agenda, you'll note there is a considerable amount of time dedicated to the issues of accountability, the work of the CCWG, and of course, the related topics of the CWG. So there will be a lot of opportunity to really unpack that issue from a range of perspectives and get a clear understanding, or at least as clear as possible at this point, on where we're at today, what the key issues are, and also some discussion about our own decision-making process on the proposal, whatever that turns out to be and whenever it presents itself. So there'll be a lot of time for discussion on that. And I think that's absolutely critical for a couple of reasons, one of which is logistical in that this is a critical topic, and this meeting may be the primary venue we have for a face-to-face discussion on the subject. I think also it's critical because while it is an ICANN accountability issue in specific, it has a direct bearing on the outputs of the IANA transition and the work of the CWG. And, of course, that is near and dear to our hearts. The other reason that we've dedicated as much time as we have to it in terms of the overall program is that the feedback we received from Buenos Aires and the approach that we took to the CWG proposal was very positively received from the community overall. And certainly from the council's perspective, really gave us a really good insight into where the community was at and the opinions of the community on the work of the CWG. So essentially that provided a template for us to approach the outputs of the CCWG this meeting. And as a result, Katrina and the program working group put together a very fulsome package around this subject. That said, of course, we have a number of other subjects on the overall agenda. And with that, I would like to hand it over to Katrina. But first, just to let you know, in case you haven't been paying attention, the Canadian election is over and we have a new government as of this morning, thankfully. Just as a small point of interest, we've had 10 years of one party ruling in a majority government. So that is effectively, in our good Canadian way, a 10-year dictatorship. And as the, I forget who said it first, but we've thrown the bums out and put in a new majority government. And with that, I will pass it over to Katrina, who will walk us through a more detailed version of the program.
Thank you very much, Byron. I just want to say that Belgian example showed that you can go very well without any government for quite a long time, over a year. So good morning, everyone. I welcome you to CCNSO Days in Dublin. As Byron already mentioned, we have a very intense and packed agenda, and I'll try to highlight some of the most interesting issues we're going to cover during today and tomorrow. So first of all, yes, the main, most of the time is dedicated to discussions around CCWD accountability and related issues. Again, just like in Buenos Aires, here in Dublin, we also have five blocks, and starting with the overview introduction, and then slowly walking through every aspect of the proposal. So today and tomorrow, and don't forget that we have coffee breaks and bigger breaks, shorter breaks for discussions in the community. Another issue we will cover today, so please be here after we have meetings with the ICANN board and GAC. So we're going to talk about the meeting B strategy. How are we going to proceed with the second meeting of every year starting from 2016. This is something we have to decide as the community. Then we have many interesting sessions, like marketing session today, a legal session tomorrow morning, and we will on interesting subjects like is the registry responsible for the content of a website? It's Pirate Bay case in Sweden. We'll talk about .ir case in America, and we'll have another presentation on sovereignty and property rights. As always, one of the most popular sessions we have, that's CCNSO News. Tomorrow, unfortunately, this time we have only an hour, because all the time is really eaten up by discussions around CCWG. And don't forget that tonight we have a cocktail. And, I've just, for you, I've tested this place. Wonderful place, very good, so you're welcome. Yes, I hope we'll have a lot of fun and loads of drinks, but we have to be back tomorrow, don't forget. And thanks a lot to our generous sponsors who helped us to organize this. Thank you very much. And welcome to the CCNSO, and let's start with the program. You want me to? Yeah, thank you very much. And so, Annabeth, can I ask you, we start with two short updates on the work of, I hope so, yep.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. While we're waiting for the presentation, I'm going to talk to you about how to proceed with the protection of country and territory names, or actually if we should use them as TLDs in the future, or not, or if we shall use them under which conditions. So that's what we are have been discussing in the cross-community working group for a long time now. And what we have done is to, you know, we have started in the... So can I move it forward, or do you have to do it? So as you all know, we take the starting point in the ISO 3166 list, and we are reviewing the existing framework and trying to find if it's a way forward to use it. In this round, we have protected country and territory names, and they were not allowed to be applied for. So the way we do it now, we have this group, and it's led by two vice chairs from the CCNSO, Paul Schindler and myself, and two from the GNSO. And that's Heather Forrest and Carlos Ruiz from Costa Rica. So what happens here? All right. I'll just talk while we're fixing this. So this is a cross-community working group. And the way we do it is to try to divide the three lines of work we have. Two letter codes, three letter codes, and the full country and territory names. So we have talked us through the two letter codes and come to a preliminary conclusion. And all the working group, and both the GNSO and the representatives from the G side and the representatives from C side in the working group, agree on keeping up the two letter codes, both those, of course, already on the ISO list, but also all other two letter combinations. And the reason behind that is that it's not ICANN, it's not us, it's not the GNSO that decides who's going to be new countries in the future. Might come new countries, and we shouldn't come in the situation that we have taken third for them in the future. Now we've come to the three letter codes, and that's what we are discussing just now. A more complex area, of course, because some of the three-letter codes are already out in the world, among those, of course, .com, and we can't stop that. It will be there forever. So what to do with the rest? Then we have, as the framework is today, it's allowed to register three-letter codes that's not on the ISO list, and a lot of them have been registered now in this round. Problem here with
obviously.
Yeah. All right. Is anything here? It's not there. Yeah. Okay. There we are. Good. We are now discussing the three-letter codes, what to do. And we have developed options through this working group and tried to find the scenarios that we can think of in the future, how to use them. And we try to engage the community as much as possible during the discussions, instead of waiting till we have discussed all the both collateral codes and long and short name, we work and that in a project and trying to engagement from all the stakeholders while we are discussing, so we can convey underway. And so far, we have sent out a list to all the SOAC chairs and ask them to send this out to the community and to encourage input from the community, have something more to work on before we can give a recommendation, if any.
And good morning, Paul Schindler, for the record. What we're doing here is a relatively new model because we're legitimately doing the cross-community working group thing properly for the first time. So each step of our process, we one step at a time, and we engage the community. We ask them, as Annabeth said, send out a survey. The two-letter code issue was relatively easy because there's a history of it. There's a history of protection of two-letter codes under ISO 3166. We're all familiar with that. When you then deal with three-letter codes, that's a whole different issue. There's possibly 17,000 combinations, permutations of three-letter codes, and there hasn't been any uniform policy for how they've been treated in the past. They are recognised on the ISO 3166 list, but you've already got, as you mentioned, .com, which is Comoros, and that's already a country code three-letter that's been used in the past. So how do you retrospectively, or do you wish to retrospectively, apply some sort of policy advice that would narrow that?
So we're trying to find a framework that can be used by everyone. So find out what to do. We sent out all these different questions, and the different options that we have ended up with, and it might be more, so if you have some good ideas, please come with them, is that what should we do in future? Should three character drinks be eligibilities? They are not in conflict with the existing area. Should all three character top-level domains be reserved as CCTLDs only and be ineligible for use as GTLDs? Should they be eligible for use as GTLDs as long as they are not in conflict with the existing codes from the ISO 3166 list? And that as the three-character version of the same ISO list that is the basis of current CCTL allocation. And today, you of them, like Jap, mentioned yesterday that also is in use, but they are not for countries, so it's on special use. Or should three character strings be eligible for use as GTLDs if they are not in conflict with existing alpha 3 codes from the ISO 3166 list and they have received documentation of support or non-objection from the relevant government or public authority? That's the system that we have today in the applicant guidebook for and some cities. We know that there have been some conflicts about that to decide what is a government, what's authority. But in many ways, that would be up to the country to decide within their national region how they will treat it, if that should be the solution. In future, should there be a restricted use of three-character strings as GTLDs? They are not in conflict with any applicable string similarity rules. And then we come to another problem with the IDN that's even more complicated, because we know that you try to write a country name in a script, it might have a lot of different lengths of letters. It could be two, it could be three, it could be four. So, but should all IDN three-character strings be reserved exclusively as CCTLDs and be ineligible as IDN GTLDs? Should there be unrestricted use of IDN three-character strings? They are not in conflict with existing TLDs or any applicable string similarity rules. So these are the options we have thought of, but we have also had input saying that you shouldn't touch it. Contain the solution we have discussed us forward to in the applicant guidebook today, don't touch it as yet, and we'll see in the future if it's more useful.
Before Annabeth goes into the next details, I mean, the issue here is that the reason we briefed you on all of these questions is that we'll be circulating a survey and asking you all of these questions. That's our methodology. You'll note that in the seven questions, we swing from complete protectionism of three-letter numbers to complete openness. And that's the way our working group operates. There's no predetermined outcome. There's no these are not proposals. They're quite obviously just questions for the community. And they're interesting ones because it was easy, as I said before, easy in the two space, not so easy when it comes to three-letter codes. And it would be very valuable. I mean, that's our key message for everyone here to take some time to look at the survey, think about it, and provide their input and their views. The more we get, the better. We're starting to get some from the GAC and others, and it would be very useful for this room to provide some feedback as well.
Yeah, we have already got some input from some of the communities, and we have had a discussion with them. So we're starting to get engagement, and we really well. So, and what we experience is that it's different working methods in the communities. And an interesting observation, they have different way forward to find how they can be able to give advice. And it takes different time in the different communities. So we are open to take time it takes to get this through, or think it through, and we won't press it forward. But we advise you to go home after this meeting to think about it. We are trying to do is the framework, the principles, come forward to principles, and we must remember that this is not a regulation. This is a kind of private contract that ICANN establishes with the applicants for new GTLDs in the future. It's policy that we are making. It's not the way that it's, as long as it's not forbidden, we are actually open to do whatever the community decides to do. So, and we have the GAC, of course, we have sorted out since last time that the working group in the GAC, they are working with all the other things. It's not two-letter codes, it's not three-letter codes, it's not country and territory names in the first level. It's other geographical terms. And both are working now with first level, but remember also it's a hearing out there for using two-letter codes in the second level for the existing TLDs, and these two discussions must not be quite confusing. So I think we have mentioned everything that's on the presentation. So we just want to really encourage you and ask for your advice to go forward. And after this meeting, the questions will be sent out.
Again, at the risk of repeating myself, but it's probably a prudent thing to do this early in the morning, we're seeking community input on a very important issue. Two-letter codes have been addressed. We're now on to three-letter codes. That requires a considerable amount more intellectual capital thought about what we'd like to see done with it. And what I would hate to see is a lack of response from the CC community because, as Annabeth said, we've already got the registry stakeholder group on board. They've already provided their input. A couple of governments have already provided their input. And what would be very valuable is if we could get the same from this room. It doesn't matter whether everyone agrees or not, but we'll be sending a survey around soon, and your input on those questions would be very welcome.
Thank you very much, Annabeth Paul.
Thank you
for your update. And we will... Okay, sorry, we had a technical glitch. Can we fix it now and change to... Next presentation is update from Guidelines Review Committee, and I will give that update. We already had a short update in Buenos Aires, but I'll just try to... Sorry, again... Okay, to remind you, what do we do? We try to review all the guidelines we have, all the documents we have at the CCNSO. We try to update them and ensure that our current practices are described correctly. Plus, we also try to translate into plain English, just to make sure that even non-native English speakers can easily read and understand what do we mean in the guideline. I still cannot move forward. Okay. As you can remember, may remember in Buenos Aires, we asked for help, for more hands from the community, and we're very happy that got some new members, and now. Probably we hoped that by Dublin we'll have something substantial to present, but it turns out that the more we work on guidelines, the more work there is. So we have some kind of snowball effect, just keeps rolling. But two of our guidelines are almost ready, but still we're not ready to submit these guidelines to the council because, for example, we have prepared guidelines, seasonal or work plan, but it has to be submitted together with a charter for triage also reviewing. And but when we reviewed the guideline on the CCNSO working groups, we realized that we need some more guidelines to describe different types of working groups we have, like, for example, standing committees or at working groups and so on. So the amount of work is growing, and perhaps we don't have anything to report to submit to the council, but we certainly hope that we will be in good shape. So here is a list of our new members, all members of our working group. And I must say that wonderful and very active working group. Here you can see an example of, well, kind of summary sheet, what we're doing with the guideline. We have the old guideline title. We try to use a unified form for titles so that you can immediately understand that is it a guideline or charter or any other type. And so this is going to be guidelines, seasonal or working groups. Then we have the sub-teams, and each sub-team works on its on different guideline. So we introduce structural changes, and we change also content for the guideline. And then we pass guideline to our translators, Ben, David, and Miriana. They make it easier to read and easier to understand. Another example. Okay, let's move forward. So currently we're working on seasons of response and statement procedure guideline and related timeline, as well as on council meeting guideline and seasons of meetings guideline. Plus, we started working on assignment of roles and responsibilities, but perhaps we'll have to postpone it a little bit, and when we see all the guidelines and every role defined in these guidelines, it will be easier for us to summarize and see what's included and what is not. We have more guidelines on our list, but perhaps we'll have to... When we tried to set priorities, which guidelines are... should be reviewed first. We did not anticipate some developments, for example, with appointment of non-com representatives. And, well, perhaps we'll at some point we will need to review the priorities of our guidelines and perhaps work on this. We need these guidelines to be ready by next elections, next appointments. This is an important point. If there's something that bothers you regarding our guidelines and set of documents we had at the CCNSO, if you see that something is not clear, something is not covered, some issues have not been described, so please talk to us. And here I'd like to ask members of... GRC, Guidelines Review Committee, raise your hands. So you see Leslie, Alejandra, Margarita, Eduardo, Stephen, David. Please come to us. And if you have anything that bothers you, talk to us and we'll try to... Okay, not to Eduardo. Eduardo is not... clearly is not willing to address your issues. So if you have anything that bothers you, please come to us and we'll try to ensure that... the particular issue is properly covered in our guidelines. So with that, I'd like to conclude my presentation. If there are any questions, please don't ask them now. Because in 10 minutes, we have a meeting with the ICON board. It's an auditorium, one floor up. After that, we have a coffee break and a meeting with GAC. Meeting with GAC starts at 11 in the room next to ours. And we reconvene here at 12, And as I already mentioned, we're going to talk about our strategy for future meetings, about meeting B. So to be or not to be. So thank you very much, and see you here back here at 12. Okay, we have a question. Yes.
Thank you, Katrina, for the update. What happens next with the guidelines? Are they by the council, or what's the next step?
Yes, of course. When they are ready, we send them to the council, and they must be approved by the council. But one thing I'd like to mention, we are working on the wiki page for our committee. It's going to be first experiment with the wiki for our working groups, and all the work of our committee will be publicly accessible. So you will be able to look at the current status of the work, all the drafts, all the final documents, and everything around the work of the GRC. And, well, in nine minutes, perhaps, we'll have to be at the meeting with the board.
It's better not to leave your computers in the room, although there will be somebody from staff here, but if you, I advise you to take it with you.